We're back. Good morning, each and everybody tuned in right now in Orlando, Florida. You're tuned in to WHPBLP 98.5. The Wire. You guys know it is Talks of Community Tuesday, and we are officially bringing back the interviews each and every Tuesday morning. Yes, I will work extra hard for you guys to make sure we get you guys somebody special every Tuesday morning. I have a very special guest in the building right now. Some may say Central Florida royalty. I am looking at Samara Kokinas. From
WKMG News 6, we're always getting results.
So before we even dive into the interview, I have to say, I have to apologize. Because I've been beefing with meteorologists on TV in this city for a year now that I've been on the station. Because I call myself the chief meteorologist of Orlando because I'm the one that does the weather on this station.
Okay. Well, you know, it takes a lot to be a chief. I don't even want to be a chief.
I claim it.
You claim it. Okay. Well,
it's,
you know,
self-proclaimed, but I claim it.
Well, you know, it's fun being a meteorologist. You get to do, you know, schooling is difficult and everything. But to be honest with you, when you do something that you love like I do, it doesn't feel like work when you're there.
Absolutely.
And I think that's a big key when you're entering any career field. So.
No, that's, I mean, great point, because I do this and I just smile through it. I don't call it work, nothing. I'd be like, oh, I got to do a show. Everybody's like, oh, you're going to work now? I'm like, no, I got to go do a show.
Right.
I won't even call it work. I love doing this. I studied broadcasting. Mm-hmm. My original plan was to be on the news, to be a weatherman, essentially. Uh-huh. I used to wake up every morning super early to watch the same one weatherman on Fox 5 News in New York. Mm-hmm. It was like the guy. Mm-hmm. And it just didn't pan out that way. They say I had a face for radio, so here I am.
Well, you know, TV is definitely a different breed. It's one of those things that, you know, when you get into it, they throw you into it.
And yeah.
You do a lot of different things. I mean, when I first started my career, I was also a beat reporter. So I had to do some of that.
Wow.
In addition to weekend mornings is how I started out in Deep South Texas. But to be honest with you, all of those things, I think, really kind of help you in the long run. They develop you into who you are, and you find yourself, what your personality is. And hopefully it's kind of close to what you are in real life, because that's what people want to see. You know what I mean? They want to see professional, but
I always tell the listeners that I try to give them as much of me as I can, because mm-hmm. when you start off on the radio, everybody just knows you as this new voice.
Right.
You're the guy that plays music. You're the guy that sometimes gets on the mic and talks about things, and that's it. They don't know who you are. So I made sure I implemented a lot of my own life story. I implemented my wife into the show. She had her own segment with me. Got my family up on there a few times. And I'll tell stories from my childhood, good, bad, everything, just so they got to know me. And I think it's the coolest thing when we get to give ourselves to the audience, aside from just being, oh, that person on the news or that person on the radio.
Absolutely.
They love you a little more, mm-hmm. and you feel it differently.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
You start throwing in your own little personality into, you know, your broadcast, like I try to with my weather, unless it's really busy. I mean, if it's wall-to-wall weather, forget about it.
Yeah,
it's not
happening. You have to make sure they know
very
what the weather's
serious.
Going. Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and my job is, I take it very personally, and I take it very seriously. So it's one of those things where, you know, when you're keeping people safe, you just really think about that. Your safety, like their safety, is your priority.
Absolutely. You mentioned South Texas.
Yeah.
You were on Channel 5 in South Texas.
Yes.
And
wow, you did some digging.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah. I definitely did some digging. So you were on Channel 5 in South Texas, and they have note of you mentioning how good the food was out there.
Oh, absolutely.
You
absolutely
honestly admitted how much you liked the food down there.
Absolutely. You can't get, you know what? You just cannot get more authentic, you know, Mexican and Texas Q is what they call it, you know, but I was on the border. So
yeah, so
I
you had the taste
both.
Of both worlds. Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, the farther south you go in Texas, boy, does that food get really, really good. Not to hate on Dallas and Austin and all that. They have the different type of food. They have, you know, their Tex-Mex, but it's just so authentic and so good, man. You know what, though? Central Florida is my home. So for those thinking, you know, oh, she's from Texas. No, actually, I'm from Volusia County.
Yeah, you're from Pearson.
Pearson.
Grew up on a fern farm.
Yes, I'm a fern grower's daughter.
I did some digging.
Wow.
I'm telling you. I pay attention. Hey, everybody tuned in right now, make sure y'all call in 407-369-8555. Tell me if you've ever been on a fern farm.
Yeah.
I don't think you have. How was that growing up and growing ferns?
Well, you know what? It was one of those things that when I was little, my mom would make me go out with my dad to cut fern to show me how much I wanted to go to college.
Yeah. Don't want to do this anymore.
It's hard and laborious work, but you know what? It's one of those things that I have a profound respect for, because that was what, you know, fed my family. And you know, it, and it's beautiful. I actually have fern in my yard now.
For fun. Of course.
For fun.
Right. And but it's fitting.
If I couldn't grow it, what kind of fern farmer's daughter would I be?
I'm from the
fern capital of the world.
Listen, I kill banana trees every year.
So do I. It's okay.
Legendary for it. And it'll grow 7-8 feet tall in a year. And I'm like, well, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Second winter hits. Doesn't matter how much I water it. Doesn't matter how much I wrap it up. That tree is gone before the summer comes back.
They come back, though. That's a good thing.
Yeah, they're invasive. They'll keep coming back. Yeah. But they're never as tall as I get them.
Yeah.
Really sad.
Yeah.
Really sad. So. For a fern farm, I've never even heard of that until I did research on it. I've never heard of a fern farm.
You know,
but I do know they're one of the top selling plants.
Yes.
Like, ever.
It makes a difference when you get close to Valentine's Day, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
And Mother's
Day. And every
Day.
Office has at least three.
At least three. A lot of them, like Boston fern, are real popular for people's porches and stuff. But Leatherleaf and Boston fern are what we grew. We call it sword fern. But we grew a lot of different fern. It's one of those things that now whenever I look at a bouquet of flowers, I'm like,
that probably came from
Pearson, probably from one of my family's farms, you know?
That's so cool.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's weird because living on a farm growing up, weather played a big role in your life.
It's actually...
Just like it does now.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that what made you fall into the field?
Yeah.
That's so cool.
That and Danny Trainer. Legend in Central Florida.
I don't know who Danny Trainer is.
You didn't do enough digging. Danny Trainer.
I typed in your name.
I know. Danny Trainer, everybody in Central Florida who, you know, watched TV growing up knows who Danny Trainer is. He was just this iconic meteorologist that it took a lot for people to come out to Pearson. Pearson's like a town of like 1,200 at most, okay? So
yeah, it's even spelled differently than you guys would think.
Yeah, yeah, it has an I, not
yeah, it's
not
literally
an A.
Spelled Pier,
yeah.
Sun.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's out past DeLand, and it's, for him to come all the way out there when I was a kid was just a moment I will never forget. And I remember going home that day and saying, you know, I didn't necessarily want to be on TV, but it was one of those things where I went home that day and I said to my mom, I was like, I want to be like that guy.
That's
and I
cool.
used to stand in front of the television when my mom, because I grew up watching Channel 2, and then my grandparents watched 9, and I think my other set of grandparents watched 6.
Oh, that's a news war.
Yeah, it is. You know, everybody has their favorites. But I would stand, my mom couldn't get the weather until the 11 o'clock news because I would stand in front of it and pretend that I was doing the weather.
Oh, that's cool. That's really cool.
It was annoying.
I was
to
never
her,
that
probably.
Confident. I was never that confident.
Well, I mean, I didn't, like I said, you know, I went to school and I went to Embry-Riddle and I studied aviation meteorology, and I had these plans, you know, like, hey, I'll do aviation meteorology, you know, because it
and that's working directly with the airports.
Yeah,
and,
airports, or National
military.
Weather Service. You could do stuff, you know, with SpaceX. You could do a lot of stuff with a meteorology degree. You
a lot of things going up in the air nowadays.
Well, that, and then there's, you know, like candy companies.
Right.
They need to know the weather and the climate for their cocoa crop, right?
Yeah,
and
of course.
And their peanut crops and stuff like that. So there's a lot of different opportunities. Some people work for sports entities that tell them what the weather's going to be. Like baseball's a huge one, so it's football. So there's all these things, but you know, when I got closer to my senior year, I was like, you know what, I took a broadcasting class, but I didn't major in communications.
Right.
And I put together a tape, and I actually did an internship at Channel 6.
Yeah, I saw that before you went to Texas.
Yeah.
And then you came back home.
And then I came back home. So it you know, it was one of those things when I got into it, I found out I really loved it. It's hard work, though. It's not.
Of course, absolutely.
It's not what people think. Oh, you just have that 30-minute show that you do. No, no. Actually, I work long hours, and I work a lot more than people think. So
that's pretty cool. You just mentioned something that I found online. You mentioned baseball and football and how weather affects it. Mm-hmm. I gotta ask, how are you an Atlanta Braves fan?
Listen, I come from the home of Chipper Jones. That's why. Larry Jones Sr. was my math teacher in middle school.
Whoa.
Yeah, Chipper is actually from Pearson. He went to Jacksonville Bulls, and that's where I think he got picked up.
Look, full circle. I thought I had her, guys.
You didn't have me.
I thought
so
I had her.
No, no.
Because I saw that online. I was like, Atlanta Braves and the Miami U. And I was like,
in the University of Miami, baby.
I was like, okay, the Miami U makes sense, especially with some of the teams they put together,
yeah,
you know, about a decade or two ago.
Yeah.
But I get that one. When I saw the Atlanta Braves, I was like, okay.
What is she doing? I mean, I grew up playing baseball.
Because you're so Central Florida through and through. So I was like,
well,
Atlanta
Braves. Braves, definitely. I was, back in the day, I was a big David Justice fan.
Okay.
I mean, I played baseball and softball. That was my deal in school and as a kid. So having Chipper come from your hometown that is so small, it really makes an impact in your life.
And no, absolutely. I get that.
They have a whole field out there, a baseball field dedicated by him.
With his name on it and everything?
Chipper Jones Family Recreational Center, I believe.
I still don't think you get a pass for the Atlanta Braves thing, but...
Listen, I do, and I'm forever an Atlanta Braves. I don't care how bad or good
they do. I've never seen an Atlanta Braves hat. I'll tell you guys that now.
I don't wear hats.
Yeah, that's an excuse I heard. But you know, when she was wearing a hat, when she drove that tank a few weeks ago, how was that?
That was different. That was not a hat. That was a lid. That was amazing.
I saw that on YouTube. I was like, this is the sickest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Let me tell you, Tank America is out on Tuskegee Road.
Okay.
It's in Orlando, but off Cimarron, I believe. But it was wild.
How'd that tree do that you hit?
I didn't hit it.
You almost hit
it. I was like, oh, man, because I was driving on the right side because this is a British tank that I was in. But the thing about it is like, you forget how wide they are.
Yeah.
And because you're all the way on the right.
And you're looking, you're like, I got this, I'll clear it.
I've got this. Yeah. You know, I mean, probably would have taken the tree down, but I could have also damaged the vehicle.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
He was just like, the guy riding with me was my instructor. And he goes, oh, you came kind of close. And I was just like.
Great reaction, man. What's his name? Call him out.
Right? No, I don't remember, actually. I feel bad. I'm really bad with names. I'm better with faces than I am with names.
Yeah.
So
is that the coolest thing you've done?
With the news?
Yeah. What would you say the coolest thing you've ever done?
Oh, it's definitely that.
The tank?
Absolutely. I don't, you know, I've done some really cool things, and I've met some really, really interesting people, and I've gone to places that, you know, when you live in Central Florida, do you go to every city in Central Florida? Right. So
definitely
that was
not.
Me in South Texas. I didn't go to every, I don't think that had I not been a reporter, I wouldn't have been able to see all the places that I saw.
Yeah, you kind of stay in your area, you handle business, and that's that.
Right.
Yeah.
And so when you're a reporter, you have to go out and you see all these different things. And I mean, I saw so much historical stuff in South Texas. It's actually, I'm a big history nerd. So
yeah.
It was one of the coolest things that you could do is, like, you know, get knee deep in the culture of Deep South Texas and then go experience it. So I highly recommend that to anybody traveling, just to really, or if you're moving, you're relocating, or if you just live here, try something different in Central Florida in a city you've never been to or a town you've never been to. Just go check it out because there's probably something cool there that you don't know about.
And the funny thing is, a lot of people don't realize this, but we have this little mini computer that all of us have in our pockets called cell phones.
Right.
That you can open up anything in the world on the internet and find something.
Yeah.
And that's how I started to get into actually, like, going around the city and finding cool things, cool places to eat.
Mm-hmm.
I love little hole in the walls with great food. I know, I saw that online. But
I really do.
I Google everything for no reason. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, mine and my wife's Google searches, so if you just go through it, it's the weirdest things. Like,
I know what I'm saying.
How would elephants travel from here to here, and how long would it take? And for no reason.
Do ghosts have teeth?
Yeah,
we don't know.
We look up the weirdest things. If it comes across our mind, we definitely speak about it, and then we'll look it up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm a big advocate into looking things up and going and learning and experiencing new things.
Yeah.
I found out that you can get into the museums for free on the first Saturday of every month with a Bank of America card.
See, I didn't know that.
And that was on Google.
Wow.
Every first Saturday, and listen, guys, if you want to learn something, if you want to go out and do some education with the family, the first Saturday of every month, you can go into any museum in the country as long as you have a Bank of America debit card, credit card, or something with their logo on it.
That's pretty cool. That would be something good, especially if you have family coming in town, you don't know what to do with
them. Yeah, you're sick of going to theme parks.
Right.
You guys went 8 times last year. Yeah.
Right. You know, you can only go to the beach and the springs.
And you can do every one in one day if you really wanted to. So, you know, here on, what's that, Princeton and Mills, we have the Science Center, the Art Museum,
yes,
and the Shakespeare Theater. Mm-hmm. You can get into all those for free in one day, the same day.
Wow.
Yeah. So, guys, go check it out. What are you guys doing? Let's do something educational.
Right. Well, I mean, you never know, because sometimes they have these little tidbits that you just don't know.
Yeah.
You know? And it's kind of, it's like, oh, wow.
Also, a lot of those museums are in the middle of nowhere. Like, who's driving to Mills and Princeton to find a museum?
You know, I was doing this. I was talking to someone who's going to be on my podcast. You know, I do the music podcast, too. But, and this group called the Grassroots, right? They've been around for a long time. They're actually going to play at the Orange Blossom Opry. Did you know we have one of those?
on OBT?
No, it's not on OBT. Oh, it's in so Weir's
Vale. You say R and Blossom, I think OBT.
Technically, I don't know. I don't know because I didn't look up the directions, but it's in Weir's Vale.
Okay.
Okay. But
it's the, it's the intro to OBT.
Right? And I'm like, Orange Blossom Opry, really?
Yeah, did not know that existed at all.
I grew up here.
Yeah.
You know, there's, I'm like, there are things that you just don't know about. And I mean, who knows who's played there? If you think about it, there could have been some legends that played there. You never
Absolutely.
Know.
Or just names that we should know that we don't.
Right. Right.
Which is really cool. People that came from Central Florida that did something to change the industry, and we have no idea who they are. And it sucks that it happens so often in every industry. It happens to everyone.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I love Florida. Everybody asks, will you ever move back?
No.
Because I'm from the Bronx. I'm like, no. I love my family. I love everybody out there. I love what it taught me. I will never move back. I'm so okay with staying here.
I was super happy when I had the opportunity to move back home. I don't think you understand, like, because Hurricane Harvey
yeah.
had just passed through Texas. I just covered that. And then 9 days later, I drove through all that wreckage to get here.
Wow.
The day before Hurricane Irma arrived. So my first 3 days home, I lived at Channel 6.
Wow.
Covering Hurricane Irma with my new team, who I knew some of them, but
yeah.
some of them I didn't.
Well, and you interned for some of them earlier
yeah,
on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I knew Tom and I knew Troy.
Shout out to Tom.
Shout out to Tom Sorrells, yes. But, you know, I knew a few people, but it was still kind of like, you know, my news director said, you know, hey, technically your contract doesn't begin till Monday, but, which was 9/11.
But you're kind of stuck here, so.
But would you mind coming out? I was
yeah.
like, that's exactly the reason why I'm here. Let's
yeah,
go.
Yeah, let's work.
Let's go.
Now, are you out and about during the hurricanes?
No.
Or? No.
No,
won't go out.
They have
out
to keep us in-house because we do, technically, it doesn't always work out like this, right? But we're supposed to do 12-hour shifts.
Right.
So sometimes we go
no,
over
I'm
that.
I'm gonna shoot my shot at the station if they're tuned in right now. I am willing to be the person that goes out in those hurricanes and do the reporting. I'm willing
reporters.
To do it. I will change my name. I won't go by Aaron Anthems anymore. I will just be Aaron Channel 6. All right.
There you go.
We can figure it out. I'll go on the hurricanes. I already walk around during hurricanes anyways because I think they're the coolest thing ever.
Don't do that though. It's so
we
dangerous.
Didn't get them in New York except for Sandy and it was nothing. So
no, Sandy was Sandy
not
was
for a, where I'm from.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Where I'm from, we walked around and I was like, this is rain.
Yeah, but so there's so many. I don't. Oh man, you're killing me, Smalls. You really are. I'm like, please don't hurt yourself because you never
I
know.
I won't go too far. Okay. I won't shy away too far. But I'll sit outside. I'll have a cigar and like.
Okay.
Well, this is
just
what
be careful
looks
with
like.
The lightning.
The sky's
if
pink.
There happens to be lightning,
yeah.
Sometimes there's not. You know, so
yeah.
there's that. But
I just
the wind.
I think it's so cool the way the sky looks the day before.
Oh yeah.
Everybody else thinks it's the scariest thing in the world, but I'm like, this is the cool.
It's very ominous, and you know, so yeah, weather. I mean, our everyday thunderstorms can be scary to people, and they are very dangerous, but we don't think about it as much because we live it every day.
Right.
You know? But just please.
But if that happens somewhere in, like, the rain we get, if it happens somewhere in the Midwest, it'd be like, what's going on?
Or
if one of their tornadoes hit us, it'd be like, what's happening right now?
Right,
yeah,
right,
yeah.
right. So,
I get it.
You know, it's just something that I want you guys to be mindful of.
Yeah, absolutely.
Be careful. That's my job, is to keep you guys safe.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't need you to be storm chasing, Aaron, please.
Yeah, yeah. I gotta. Well, these people listening will kill me if something happened to me because I'm storm chasing. So,
right. Right.
If they don't wake up to hear my voice yelling at 7 a.m., they can't start the day. They can't start the day.
Exactly.
Back to what we were talking about, being ourselves to our listeners. Mm-hmm. Have you seen that it changes the way you're approached, like, in public? Do you get approached often in public?
You know, when I first moved back home, no.
Because okay.
I'm on the weekend evenings
yeah.
a couple nights a week, but I work 5 days a week, despite what people think.
Right.
You won't see me all the time on the TV, but I'm there 5 days a week.
Yeah.
But, you know, I started filling in more for the chief, and I did mornings, and now I'm nights, so there's a lot more exposure there. So, yeah, it's definitely changed.
Yeah.
I would say in the last year and a half or so, a bit more. Like, for example, I was out. I looked like garbage, okay?
That's the worst.
It is the worst. It's
I get stopped like going into Walmart.
I just
and
I
they're
can't.
Like Anthems and AM. I'm like,
oh
no.
Man, I'm sorry. I, look
I never
like
leave
troll.
My house in pajamas.
So I ran out of the house to go and get a few ornaments for my tree. So mind you, I'm in tree decorating mode.
Yeah, there's like glitter everywhere.
I am not cute. I don't have on my makeup. I don't, you know, I look like a troll, right? And this woman walks up to me and she says, oh my goodness, you're the weather lady from the news on Channel 6. And she goes, Samira, right? And I was just
oh,
like,
oh no.
Look, yeah.
Hey, I'm sorry guys, I'm gonna say this, I would have lied. I'm like, nope.
You can't.
That ain't me.
Like, I just looked at
her. See, I work on the radio.
Like,
they don't really know what my face looks like.
That's right.
It's not until they hear my voice, they're like, I know you. And I'm like, no,
I was
you don't.
In Hobby Lobby. You know, my hair is up in this ratty
looking. Oh, you were getting that 50% off Christmas deal.
60%. Yeah. Don't go there, man. Yeah. Well, and so I'm in there, and I said, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not exactly the most presentable for right now, but thank you so much
for
watching.
Catch me on the weekends.
You know? She goes, no, you look fine. I'm like, you don't have to be that nice. Yeah. It's fine.
Liar. Listen, lady, you're lying.
No, it was very sweet of her, you know, and I would much rather somebody come up to me and say hello.
Yeah,
rather
absolutely.
Than just stare me down. That is the most awkward thing.
And that's
in
what
the
I
world.
Think the difference is. So when I get approached, people think they know me already. Like bro, I know you. And I'm like, yeah, you know me. Fine.
My favorite is, if somebody comes up to me, I'm in their TV in their home. So yes, there is that element of, hey, you know me, right?
I let you in my home.
But they'll come up and they're like, hey, Samira, it's so good to see you. And I'm like, man, have I met this person? Yeah. I have to.
I gotta be nice about it.
No, I gotta question myself. I'm like, man, have I met this person before? Because like I said, sometimes I remember and sometimes I don't. A lot of times I don't remember names. Yeah. I'm better with faces usually.
Yeah. But so you're thinking back in the memory.
I'm
like,
trying
all right,
to be
come
like,
on.
Where do I know
if
this
I know you,
from?
I got you.
You know, so I apologize if I ever look, you know, dumbfounded or if I'm trying to figure out who you are.
She loves all you guys.
But my key around that, I'll tell you guys my secret, so don't hate on me, but I usually go, it's so great to see you again.
Yeah, oh, you have to.
Just because
you look great.
I don't want to offend you
right.
if I've met you before and I don't remember. So please don't be offended. But if somebody called me out one time, they're like, oh, I haven't met you before. I was like, oh, well, it's nice to meet you now.
That's the only time it'll backfire.
It's
when they're
time.
Too honest. Why y'all so honest?
Yeah.
Why y'all so honest?
Just let me think I've met you. It's okay.
The funniest thing to me is when people like think they know me so much that they like give me a nickname. It's like, yo, Double A. And I'm like, hi. What's up?
Aaron.
Yeah, I'm like, y'all need to stop watching TV. I know where you got that from.
Yeah,
right. People do that to you. They're like, yo, Sam.
No. I mean, my friends.
That'd be funny.
I know, right? They have their nicknames
guys,
for
if you guys ever see Samira outside, make sure you guys say, yo, Sam. She'll know that you guys are tuned into the show.
Yes, I will. And I will probably laugh. But, you know, my friends have their nicknames for people who went to high school with me. Have a nickname for me, and that's how I know that they know me.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise I get, somebody called me Sahara the other day, and I was
nice.
Like, yeah, that's me. You know, because
I'll take it.
My name is not exactly the easiest thing in the world, so.
It's also not that hard. It's pretty, sounds the way it's exactly spelled out. It's pretty spot on.
But you know,
but on the news, you're speaking quick and I'm,
right. And
yeah, I get it.
You
get
know,
it.
So it is, it's fine.
It happens.
I'm flattered either way. It's okay.
Thanks for coming up and saying hi.
Yeah. We had a viewer one time in Texas call in and she said, I just love that little Samarica Fields. She completely renamed me.
She gave you a Texas name.
She did.
She gave you a Texas name.
But
not bad. That means you were accepted by the community. That's awesome.
So now my chief actually calls me Samarica because he loves that story so much.
That's
and
so
it's like
funny.
The most patriotic moment when he says it. I'm like, yes.
Yeah. America. I love it. I kind of put out a little teaser that I was going to have you on the show.
Okay.
I put it up for 10 minutes on the show's Instagram page and then I deleted it. I wanted to see who was paying attention to the page.
Uh-huh.
And I had asked them if anybody had questions for you. And I got from 4 different people the same exact question. How do they start to get into an industry like being on the news?
Oh,
I have a lot of people that come to me and ask how I did radio broadcasting. And I told them to start off with just communications. Then I narrowed it down to broadcasting. And I narrowed it down to radio broadcasting.
Gotcha.
But any advice for them? Any steps you think they should take?
Well, you have to have a meteorology degree to be a meteorologist.
Right.
If you're going to be a journalist, you have to need to have a journalism degree. And then just be prepared to have to leave wherever you are.
And be willing to take a job anywhere.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is, when you go away to learn, there are mistakes that, I mean, my first time on television, my knees were literally shaking. I was so nervous.
It happens.
That my stutter came out. So I have a stutter. You know, so
live? You were live stuttering?
Oh, yeah. So it sounded like I didn't know what I was talking about when, in fact, I do.
Yeah.
You know, but it's something that just caught me a lot. It was, I'm here living. You have, mind you, I've wanted to be
it's
a meteorologist since I was 8.
It's such an authentic moment, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's such an authentic moment. It shows that, like, this is real.
I'm living my dream.
You're living your dream, and it just caught up to you when that camera went live. So you got to give that a pass.
So, and then I was thinking about so many things so quickly. Of course, I'm going to talk like this really quick, but, you know, and everybody's like, okay, slow down.
Happens.
You know, so those things, I wouldn't have want to made that mistake here in Orlando.
Right.
You know, Orlando's a big market. It's, it's very large.
And it's your hometown. Yeah, a lot of people that know you tuned in.
I didn't want them to be like, oh, you're the worst.
So did you ever go on air when you were interning out here? Or were you just behind the scenes, really?
I was in a couple of commercials here.
Nice.
Yeah, with News 6. But
those commercials that just have you do the turnaround shots? Just like,
no, I was like,
Tune in.
I was in the background eating lunch at a diner.
Holding up cue cards.
I was just like, let me eat, you know. But no, I didn't actually have a chance to go on air, but I did make a lot of tape here, or tape, recording tape, you know. I made a demo here. So yeah, you have to make a demo. You want it to be solid so when you go out, people can see the potential that you have and then be willing to grow.
Yeah, that's how I got this morning show. My dream, once I decided radio, was morning show. Mm. And I started out on the station as a nighttime co-host and DJ. Mm-hmm. I was like, I want to run my own show in the morning. That's what I did growing up. Turn on the radio was the first thing I did. News and radio on at the same time. My mom hated it. But it was what I was in love with. So
right. So when
I just pushed for it. And I literally, instead of making a demo, I made an entire week's worth of like what content would be, different segments, different like how my week would go if I was on here every morning. And I sent it to the owner of the station. He called back. He's like, dude, why did you just say you wanted the morning show? I was like, I had to show you I could do
it. Right. Well, you know, in college, I did have the opportunity to do broadcasting for MPBN, which is Maine Public Broadcasting Network. So
I interned for NPR in college.
All right. Yeah. So, well, I covered Sandy, the storm you said was nothing.
Look, I was in the Bronx. We were safe.
No, it's okay. I did it for the Delmarva Peninsula as well as Presque Isle and all the way up into like Nova Scotia. But, you know, having...
Oh, they got hit pretty
hard. Yeah. And the thing was, having that experience helped me. But just be... The one thing that I really did was in my internship is I went around to different people and I would give them my tape or whatever. And I would say, hey, how can I do this better?
That's awesome. Because a lot of people don't have that in them to say,
you've got to.
Me. A lot of people can't deal with it.
You've got to. You have to be able to have thick skin, take constructive criticism. I'm not talking about, you know, people when they hate you. You know, they're like, oh, man, you're the worst, and I hate your dress and your hair and everything else.
Yeah, no,
else,
that's
know.
Just...
That's
not helpful.
That's minor.
Yeah,
right?
That's not
just
helpful.
Let it go, you know? But people will genuinely help you if you want to be better and if you show that drive to be better. And then continue that process in your first job, because the only way that you're going to learn anything is by asking questions and actually being humble enough to know that you are not perfect. And no matter where you are in this industry, I don't care who you are, you're not perfect. You're human.
Absolutely.
And the day that you stop trying
to hit the old shoot button a few times while I was
right. Well, the thing is,
it happens.
You know, it's one of those things that if you just sit there for a moment. And if you stop saying, how can I be better than I was the day before, then why are you still in that career?
Right.
You know, don't get complacent. Don't get too comfortable.
Don't get complacent.
Right.
And
try
if you hate what you do, try something else.
Right. You know?
So. I tell them that. So on Mondays, I do Motivational Mondays.
Mm-hmm.
And I swear, I'm just like a TED Talk motivational speaker the whole show. 3 hours of it.
Soapbox moment, huh?
3 hours of it. And, I mean, they love it. I'm glad that they enjoy it. But that's... One of my main points always, like, if you honestly, right now, you're listening, you're getting up, you're drinking coffee, you're getting dressed, you're going to work. 7
Coffee's
in the morning.
A must.
If you really, really hate it that much, there are so many opportunities in the city.
Right.
To, if you're not going to do exactly what you want to do in that very moment, there's steps that you can take to start to get there.
Mm-hmm.
We all have the, which is cliche to say, but we all have the same 24 hours in a day, but we all have different paths,
right.
Which is what people don't get. When everybody be like, oh, we have the same 24 hours, you could be like me and no. Be like yourself, use your time wisely, and get to where you want to get to.
Absolutely.
That's how Samara got on the news. That's how I got the morning show of my dreams. And now we're able to sit here and talk about it.
Right.
And just enjoy each other's company with microphones.
Yeah.
It's just like us hanging out, but we have microphones.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's also something that you really just, you want to love what you do, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and then when you get there and you finally say, hey, I'm here. Now what else can I do? Keep growing.
Yeah.
You know, try something else. Like I did the podcast, you know, because I used to own an entertainment company here. So I grew up in music and I was like, you know what? I never thought that all of that experience, you know, bartending back in the day and owning an entertainment company and all that would come full circle in my career right now. And it has.
And a lot of people don't get that either. You're like, other things that you love aside from your job, you can turn into side hustles.
Absolutely.
Very easily.
I do some photography, you know, so it's all these little things.
That's a really cool way to figure out how to take that next step. Everybody's like, well, what am I going to do to become a millionaire? I don't know many millionaires out there that are just doing one thing.
That part. You can't have one job anymore.
No.
You can't.
No, you have to have at least eight. And if you're a parent, there's two right there.
Right? Yeah, that definitely counts for sure.
But Samara, it's amazing to have you on.
Thank you so much. This is a lot of fun. I'm not a morning person, so nice. You know, I did this for you.
I appreciate and I really, so much.
To be honest with you, I really appreciate the opportunity to come and just to have me sit down with you to show people, hey, I'm a human, I promise.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
She's real, guys.
I'm real.
She's real. Everybody was speculating it might be a robot. No, she's real. She's here. And she's up early. And she's talking to you guys, so.
Yeah.
Tell a friend to tell a friend. Tune in. Channel 6 on the weekend.
Just know I appreciate everybody who shows love. And you know, I have people that they'll take pictures of me when they catch me. That never gets old.
Yeah, no.
Just make sure there's a decent photo and I don't have my mouth like in
some
weird.
Don't catch me eating a burger.
Right. You know, but honestly, I thoroughly appreciate everybody who watches New Six, who watches my team, and who has supported me this entire time. My friends, my family, and people that I don't know that continue to support my podcast or my articles that I write. So thank you so much for that. I really appreciate you, Aaron.
Thank you so much, Samara. I appreciate you coming out. Guys, I want you guys to know, first verified guest on the show.
Oh, man.
1 year anniversary just hit. And I told you guys, we're bringing you guys the best interviews in the city. Talk to Community Tuesdays each and every Tuesday. Make sure you guys tune in every week. Make sure you guys tune in each and every weekday morning. I'm on your radios live Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Anthems in the AM, WHBB LP 98.5, The Wireless. Diving into some more music right now. And I'll be back in a second.